Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for an opportunity to share your word again this morning in the house of the Lord. And we pray, Lord, that you will open our understanding. Hallelujah. And we shall understand. Anoint our eyes with eyes of, and we shall see. Speak to our hearts, Lord, and we shall know knowledge out of thy wondrous book. We give you praise and glory, Lord. Glorify yourself this morning in all things. And everybody says, amen. Put your hands together for Jesus. Hallelujah. Come on, somebody. Give the Lord the praise in the house. Thank you, Jesus. Now, the message this morning will be short, and I want to preach on give it all back to me. That's right. Not to me, but to the Lord. That's right. That's what the Lord wants me to tell you this morning. He wants it all back. You say he wants it all back? That's right. You know, you're going to understand the message when I preach it. It's going to be short. But I believe the Lord is going to bless your heart. Amen? Amen. So let's start here at Genesis chapter 22. And I'm going to tell us a story here that you can take time to read all of it on your own. But it's in Genesis 22 verses 1 through 18. Now, before we read this story in Genesis 22, I want to let you know that Abraham, this story is about Abraham and something that happened between him and God. You know, but before that, you know, Abraham was somebody that God chose and called him out of, you know, the land of, the people that didn't believe God, basically, you know. And he called him and told him that, look, I called you out of the land of all the Chaldeans, and I'm going to give you this whole land of Canaan and all of these things, you know, and so forth like that. He was living among pagans. God chose him, and God had something in store for him, you know. And God promised him. This is the story of Abraham. You know, God promised him. The famous thing about Abraham's life is that God promised, made a special promise to him that you will be the father of many nations, and out of thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. You know, and of course, Abraham did not even have a single child. And he went childless for many, many years. And before we read this chapter 22, I just want to give you that background. So Sarai, some people call it that, his wife, was barren, you know, for many years. You know, and, you know, finally, when the Lord appeared to him in Genesis 15 and verse 1, of course, before that, the Lord appeared to him several times. In fact, it goes back, you can go back, way back to Genesis chapter 12. And I've talked about this before. Now, if you know the story of Genesis, and if you read those chapters in Genesis chapter 11, people tried to gather together, you know, the people of the earth at that time, to build the Tower of Babel. And the Lord came down and confounded them and smote them and, you know, I mean, we changed their language so that they were scattered. But the thing that the people who were trying to build that tower into heaven that they thought, you know, the thing, their purpose and their goal, what they said in their mind was, look, you know, let us build us a city, you know, reach to heaven and so forth, make us a name. So that's what they said, they make us a name. And God said no. You know, so God scattered them. But in Genesis chapter 12, God told Abraham, I will make you a name. You know, so, you know, and I preached on this before that, look, any great thing that's going to happen on the earth is because God said so. Amen? That's right. You know, so those people, they want to make themselves a name. God said no. But God handpicked one person and said, I will make you a name. You know, Abraham, he wasn't going about trying to make a name for himself. He wasn't trying to be famous or anything. He was just living a life, you know. But God handpicked him and said, I will make you a great name. Hallelujah. You know, so that's the story of Abraham, you know, but he didn't have a child for many years and so forth. And the Lord, you know, told him some things and, you know, one night, you know, he had a dream, you know, a vision, and a quaking came upon him and so forth, you know. And God told him that, look, know of a surety that, you know, your people, your children, you know, and so forth, and, you know, they're going to be in a nation and a land that they will torment them for over 400 years and so forth, you know. And after a while, you know, I'm going to bring them forth with great signs and wonders, and I will punish that nation. And all that time, Abraham didn't even have a child, you know. God was telling him things that will happen to his generations, you know, and he didn't even have a child, and so on and so forth. So in Genesis 15, the Lord appeared to him in Genesis 15, verse 1, and he said, "Fear not, Abraham." Abraham was his name then, you know. "I am thy shield, an exceeding great reward." Amen, people? I'm going to be talking about that in a few minutes. "I am thy shield and exceeding great reward." So when God said that to Abraham, Abraham said, "Well, you know, you are my shield. You are my exceeding great reward. How come I go childless then? You know, I go childless, you know, and so forth." You know, so the Lord said, "Don't worry about it." God gave him a promise and so on and so forth. So finally, after all said and done, after many, many years of waiting for the promise, and as a matter of fact, it took 25 years from the time that God gave him the promise before the promise was actually realized. And Sarah, you know, bore him that child, Isaac. Initially, they thought it was going to be Ishmael, you know, which Sarah organized with her handmaid that came from Egypt, gave her to Abraham because she was barren and she thought, "Well, I can raise seed through that." So that's all the story. Some of you may know that story. You know, but when Isaac finally came, you know, so now this is a, now take note of the background of this thing. You know, first of all, God had promised him that, "Look, you know, God's going to make you a great name, and, you know, out of your seed and so forth shall all the nations be blessed." And he didn't have a child for many, many years. Finally, Isaac came upon the scene. So, you know, naturally, you know, Abraham, you know, he loved that boy. You know, because, I mean, it is a promise that he waited 25 years for. And he loved this boy so much. You know, and in fact, you know, he knew in his heart, he thought, "Look, you know, this is the child, you know, through this child." Because God told him, it's not going to happen through Ishmael. It's going to be the one that will be born, you know, from your Sarah and so forth. So, he's thinking in his heart, "Well, wow, gee, God, you know, God's going to do great things. And this is my boy, you know, God's going to bring him, make him a great nation," and so on and so forth. And the Lord even told him, like, the sands of the sea and all kinds of tremendous promises. You know, so his heart was set on this boy, you know, because he loved him so much and he cherished the boy and all of that and so on. So that's the background to the story. Now, Genesis chapter 22. "And it came to pass after these things that the Lord did tempt Abraham." Oh, that's a bad translation. Test. It's a better translation. "And said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, here I am. And he said, Take now thy son, thine only son Isaac, whom thou lovest." So the Lord knew how to cherish this boy because of the promise. I mean, this Isaac was in Abraham's mind the anchor of God's promise. You know, "whom thou lovest, and get thee to the land of Moriah, and offer him therefore a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." Now this is a very strange thing to come from God. You know, I mean, one, first of all, God's asking this man to go offer his child as a sacrifice. You know, that's contrary to everything that, you know, they believed. You know, second of all, not only that, this is the very promise that God had given him that God, he has waited for 25 years, now to be slain by his own hands. You know, so this is a great test. You know, but Abraham, he didn't argue with the Lord. Amen? Amen, amen, folks? Amen. Abraham knew the voice of the Lord. You know, I guarantee you, if it had been any of us sitting in here today, you know, maybe we'd say, "That can't be God. God can't tell me to sacrifice my son." I bind that voice in the name of Jesus. Maybe that's what we'll be doing and all of that. You know, but Abraham, he knew the voice of the Lord, and he knew it was God. You know, so he said, "Well, you know, early in the morning, he saddled everything and so forth, and they went up." You know, and the story goes on and on and on. You know, so, you know, you can read it, the first 18 verses of that chapter 22. So when they went, you know, we got to a certain place, and Abraham told his servants, you know, say, "You wait here, me and the boy and I, we're going to go, and we'll come back again. We're going to go make sacrifice, and we will come back." So they went a little further, and the son, you know, they got to a place, and they saw, you know, Abraham, you know, fixed up, you know, everything ready, and so forth, you know, got the wood ready, got the fire ready, and so forth. And so the son is looking, he says, "Dad, I can see the wood for the burnt offering. I can see the fire and all of that. But where is the lamb? You know, and little did he know that, you know, listen to this in verse 7. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father, and he said, Yeah, my son, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering? And Abraham said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. Can I get an amen on that? So they went both of them together. See, Abraham, he had faith, you know. I mean, you have to read Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19 to get the commentary, you know, that where it says that Abraham, by faith, you know, attempted to offer up Isaac, you know, according to the word of the Lord, you know, even though through Isaac was the promise that he was given, but he offered him up, just like God said, you know, and he determined in his heart, he knew within his heart that even if this boy died, God was able to raise him up from the dead. Hallelujah. That's in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 17 through 19. You have to read that there. You know, but in this story, so, you know, Abraham said, well, you know, God is going to provide himself a lamb and so forth. So Abraham, you know, the next thing around, you know, well, he's following the word of God. So he ties this boy up. The whole time, the boy's like, Dad, what are you doing? You know, so he just said, be quiet. So he tied him up. He probably gagged him up too, you know, because the guy probably, boy was probably screaming, I don't know. You know, so he tied him up, gagged him up, he did everything, get ready to put him on. So he laid him up, you know, and he took the big knife and ready to kill this boy. Because the Lord said, sacrifice him, you know. And he did all of that and so forth. Now listen to this, verse 10. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Yeah. He said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now, see, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. My. And Abraham lifted up his eyes, and just like he said before, and he looked, and there was a ram caught in the thicket. So God did provide himself, you know, something for the sacrifice. But he was testing Abraham. So Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the place the name of the place, this is verse 14, you know, Jehovah Jireh. You know, some of you sing that song, Jehovah Jireh, this and that. That's where that comes from. The Lord provided for himself. Amen. And the Lord will provide. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, as it is this day, he called it, and it's called the Mount of the Lord, you know, so on. Now, the angel of the Lord in verse 14 called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time and said, now, listen to this. Because Abraham passed the test. Listen to what God is going to say. Now, this is a test which was, I mean, probably beyond human comprehension. You know, this kind of test. But listen to what God said to him after that. By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord. For because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that a blessing. Now, some of us have read that in Hebrews. You know, we've read it where God said, a blessing, I will bless you, multiplying. God swear by himself. And so, but this is where this is taken from. You know, God swear by himself that, you know, that this covenant of blessing that he laid smack down on Abraham right here, it was an everlasting covenant. And he did it because of Abraham's absolute submission to the will of the Lord. You know, and even to the point of sacrificing his son, if that was what God asked for. You know, surely, blessing, he said, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the sea shore. Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. Amen? And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Now, God doesn't test you, you know, in the thing where, you know, it means nothing to you or means nothing to God. God will test you in the thing that means the most to you. Amen? That's what we see in this story. You know, God said, look, your son, your only son, whom you love, you know, maybe at point, who knows, maybe that boy was actually becoming a stumbling block, you know, maybe he was loving the boy so much, and you know, because you know, it was the anchor to God's promise in his mind. You know, but in any case, he was ready to give him up, you know. Now, the very thing that you hold dearest in your heart, the very thing that you love the most, God wants you to give it up. Give it up to me, saith the Lord. Can you do that? Can you do it? You know, I mean, can God say of you, I know him and I know her, that she will obey my voice. You know, but you have to pass the test before God can say something like, God doesn't just stand up one day and say, oh, you know. No, he's going to put you through the test. Hello, people. That's right. You know, he put Abraham to the test. God already knew, but he'll put you to the test. He put Jesus to the test too, you know. And he'll put everybody to the test, you know. And you must pass the test. Praise the name of the Lord. The thing that you hold dearest in your heart, that's the very thing that God wants. He wants you to give it up to him. The Bible says in the book of Psalm 105 and verse 19, talking about how Joseph and so forth and the word of the Lord and all the things, you know, the dreams that Joseph had and all the great things that God, you know, told him that will happen in his life. God put him to the test. The Bible says in Psalm 105 verse 19, the word of the Lord tried him. You know, God's going to put that thing to the test. Your dreams, your aspirations, the things that you hold dearest in your heart, you know, you need to give it up to the Lord. Now, you know, Jesus said himself in John chapter 12 and verse 24. Turn to it if you will, please. John 12, 24. Jesus said, look, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. You know, but, you know, if he die, then he brings forth much fruit. Now, what has that got to do with this? Well, that's exactly this message here today. As long as you are holding on to that thing, it's going to abide alone. But when you give it up to the Lord, especially when he's asking you, like he's doing here this morning in this message, say, look, the reason why, you know, some of your dreams are not yet, you know, materializing and you're not attaining to your dreams. The reason why some of your prayers are not answered is because you are preferring the thing that you are believing God for above the Lord himself. Are you still with me, folks? In Genesis 15 and verse 1, I'm going to go back to that. The Lord said to Abraham, fear not, Abraham, I am thy shield and exceeding great reward. Now, he didn't say to Abraham, I am your shield and I will give you an exceeding great reward. He didn't say that. He said, I am your exceeding great reward. Hello, people. God wants to be your chief joy. God wants to be the thing, you know, if we can say thing, God wants to be, you know, your purpose in life. God wants to be the center of everything that you are pursuing. Hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. God wants to be that focus. He wants you to sanctify him in your heart as your chief joy. You know, and, you know, he, God, you know, all of these things, you know, God told Abraham that even before anything. He said, look, I am your reward. You know, now today, you know, people say to the Lord, well, Lord, if you do this thing, I will bless your name. You know, we've seen people that did that in the Bible. In fact, you know, we've seen how, you know, people prayed, you know, Hannah prayed, she didn't have a child, said, Lord, if you give me a child and so forth, you know, I will dedicate him to the temple. God gave her Samuel, she prayed, you know, and she dedicated the child and so forth. I mean, we've seen people in the Bible, they say, Lord, if you do this thing for me, I will do this and so forth. And, you know, most of the time they do it. Of course, God has no pleasure in fools. The Bible says if you make a vow before the Lord and you don't keep it, you are a fool. God has no pleasure in that. You know, but, you know, my question to us and my challenge to us today is this. You know, perhaps some of you have said, Lord, if you do this, I will do this. And if you give me this, you know, there's something you are pursuing. I will come to the house of God. I will give testimony. Yeah, I will do this. I will be that. I will do that. And so forth. You know, that's wonderful. Maybe God will do that, and then you will do that, and so that's wonderful. But here, what is this? This is the thing I want to ask you. Suppose God doesn't do it. Hello, folks. Now, you know that what we preach and teach in this church is faith. And I believe that God is able to do all things. Amen? Amen. So let me settle that in case you are new. Say, well, maybe they don't believe. No, I believe anything. And I know God can do anything. I have seen God do all kinds of things. And there is nothing that I have believed God for that He has not done. Amen? Amen. But beyond all that, it's not about me. It's not about my faith. It's not about what I believe and so forth. It is about God's position in your heart. What if God does not do the thing that you are praying for? What if He doesn't do it? Or He delays it? Lovest thou me more than these things that I can do for you, saith the Lord. Do you love me? He asked Peter several times. Do you love me more than these others? Or do you love me more than these fish? Or these other disciples? Whatever, whichever way you look at it. Lovest thou me more than the things that I can do for you? What if you are praying for something and you believe in God for something? And what if God doesn't do it or delays? Remember, Abraham, 25 years. As a matter of fact, you know, we don't know that Abraham knew in his heart that it was going to take 25 years. We don't know that. He didn't know. He just kept believing God. You know, the first year it didn't happen. Second year it didn't happen. You know, so he just kept believing God. He had no knowledge that whether it will happen the next time or the next year or the next 6 months. He just kept believing. But God stretched it out. Hello, people. For your sakes. Because the Bible says all the things that are written in the Bible are examples, you know, for our sakes. Upon whom the end of the world is come. So that we can learn from the people who have gone before us. So, what if God doesn't do that thing that you are believing God for? What if God doesn't give it? What if He doesn't answer it right away? What if He delays in answering? What are you going to do? You know, one time, the Bible says in the book of Job, chapter 1, he lost everything in one day. Everything. You know. Because, you know, it so happened that Job was the, you know, a trophy in a contest between the Lord and the devil. And Job didn't know it. You know, but he lost everything in one day. And in Job chapter 1 verse 21, you know, Job said, look, I came naked into this world. And naked I'm going to go back. The Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Hallelujah. Now that is a hard saying. That the Lord giveth and the Lord taketh. Yeah, absolutely. If Hannah prayed the same prayer, he said, the Lord killeth and He maketh alive. That's right. That's exactly what Jesus said in John 12 and 24. That seed must die before it can be made alive and bring forth much fruit. As long as you are holding on to it so dear, you're not going to get very far. You got to give it up to me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. You've got to give it all back to the Lord. And then when God gives you things and makes you to flourish and to be abundant in goodness and the mercy of God, what should you do? You ought to give it all back to Him. You ought to give Him all the praise. Amen? And don't you ever forget it and think at any point in time that is this not the majesty of my kingdom and the excellency of my brightness that I have built by myself? That's what Nebuchadnezzar said. But he found out that no, God is the one that gave it to you. And He can take it away just as quickly. Amen, somebody? You know, so when we are trusting the Lord and when we are believing God, we must also know that God is sovereign. You must settle in your heart and know that God is able to do all things. That's what Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego said. He said, our God whom we serve, He is able to deliver us. And I've said it many times. You've heard me say it. And I'll say it again in this church. That portion of your faith is non-negotiable. You must know that God is able to do the thing that you are believing God for. And not only must you know that, you must also know that God is able, not only able to do it, but that He is going to do it. Amen? He said, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us, and He will deliver us. End of story. Amen? Praise God. Now, some people say, well, God is able to do it, but maybe he won't do it in my case. You know, well, you know, you begin to doubt. Well, if you doubt God, you will not receive anything from the Lord. Amen? A double-minded man cannot receive anything from God. You must settle it in your heart that God is able to do it and that he will do it. But nevertheless, should he choose not to do it, not because he is not able, but for whatever reason known to him, will you still love the Lord? And these children said, these three Hebrew boys, they said, nevertheless, even if God does not deliver us, though we know he is able and he is going to, but for whatever reason, if he does not deliver us, we still will not bow down to your image. Hallelujah! Praise God. You know, so what if God doesn't do that thing, you know, that you are believing God for? You know, what are you going to do? Let me close this exhortation to you today by reading something to you from the book of Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. Now, this is the story of Moses, you know, when he went up into what we now famously call the burning bush, you know, and all that. So, God appears to Moses in Genesis chapter 3. Now, Moses, verse 1, kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of the bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burned. Now, so the Lord, he showed him a sight that caught his attention. But Moses, he pressed closer to figure out what's going on. You know, now when God shows you a little something, you know, you got to press closer. Amen? Amen, amen, people? Amen. You know, sometimes God gives us, you know, something, you know, shows us a little of his glory, but most of the time we don't press in closer. We don't turn aside to say, look, I must now see this great sight. I must now find out what's going on. Well, God didn't say anything to him, you know. He let the bush, you know, the burning bush go on and so forth. That was the attraction to draw him in. But if Moses hadn't come closer, God wouldn't have said anything to him, you know. But then he went closer, and then God began to speak to him. But notice what I want to bring out here that God said to him. And when Moses went closer, the Lord said to him, verse 4, now when the Lord saw that he turned and aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses! And he said, where I am, Lord, here I am. And the Lord said, draw not nigh hither. Don't come any closer. Stay right there. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where thou standest on is holy ground. Amen? Amen? Now, here is the thing that I want you to see today. The bush, the stones, the dirt, you know, the sticks, the earth, and all of those things that were in that place, you know, 1 minute they were bush, they were dirt, they were earth, stones, or whatever it is, stick, and so forth. That's all it was in 1 minute. The next minute, it was holy ground. Amen. Hallelujah, somebody. Amen. What is the difference? Because the presence of God came upon it. Amen. Hallelujah. Once the presence of God comes upon whatever it is, it changes the landscape. Hallelujah! Amen. Something that was dirt, something that was nothing, something that was, you know, bush. In 1 minute, the next minute, it was holy ground. Hallelujah. Amen. If God can do that to dirt, if God can do that to stick and bush and stones and so forth, which means nothing, how much more to the earthen vessels that he himself crafted by himself? Hallelujah. For a habitation of his own spirit. Ye are those earthen vessels. Now, if God can turn all those things around in 1 minute, imagine what he can do with whatever you turn over to him. Amen? Amen, amen, people? Dirt to holy ground. And if you turn it over to the Lord, He can change things around just like that. Now, there are some of you that are sitting in here today, and you've been struggling with some things that you've been praying about, you know, and God is stretching the time, it looks like, you know. And every time you pray, and it looks like you're just about to get it, but you don't get it, you know, and then you wait some more, and so forth like that. Well, you know, here's what the Lord wants me to tell you today. Give it all back to me, said the Lord. Turn it over to the Lord. Praise God. And if you can turn it over to Him, you know, let Him do what He wills. Let Him have control. You know, I said one time, you know, and I heard about it. Some people said, why do you say that? I said, well, you know, because I said, look, God only has control over what you give Him control over. You know, now God has control over His eternal purpose and the things that He, you know, and God can take control over anything that He wants. But He gives us free choice. You know, that's a choice. You know, and unless you let God, He said, look, hold, I stand at the door and knock. You know, He's not going to force His way in. You know, unless you open the door to Him. You got to open the door and say, come on in, Lord. Amen? That's right. You've got to give Him that key. Let Him open and come in. You know, so, and as long as you are holding on to the thing, you know, it's not going to go very far. But you got to turn it over to the Lord. Now, the thing that God is going to test you, and some of you have been tested, and some of you have been tested, it's in the thing that is your prized possession. You know, maybe you've been out of the job of job for so long, and it has become, you know, the center of your life. Because your thoughts every day is about, how can I get work? You know, everything's not working for me, and I'm just this and that. You know, it becomes the center of your life. You know, and everything you do, your thoughts are just around that. You know, because that's been the thing that is uppermost in your heart. Well, the thing that was uppermost in Abraham's heart was how this boy was going to become, you know, a great nation. And all of these things and so forth. And God saw that. And God was going to test him in that very thing. Perhaps the Lord's been testing you. You know, perhaps the Lord's is stretching it a little bit. To see if you will choose the Lord as your chief joy. Rather than the thing that you are believing God for. Let's stand to our feet here this morning. Let's start to our feet here this morning. Whatever it is that you are believing God for, is that your focus? Or will the Lord be your focus? If you can turn the thing over to the Lord, imagine what He can do if He can turn dirt into holy ground in just 1 minute. Imagine what He did with Peter, who toiled all night when he turned his boat over to the Lord. And in just a few minutes, they caught a great company of fish that their boat even began to sink. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all other things will be added. And the question today, I will pose it to you again. Suppose God did not give you the answer to your prayer. Suppose God held back like He did for Abraham for 25 years. What would you do? You know. And those of you who have said, Lord, if you do this thing, I will do the other thing. You know. Well, suppose He doesn't do it. Will you still do the other thing? If you say, Lord, if you do this, I will serve you all my life. Well, suppose He doesn't do it yet. You know, and He drags it out. Will you serve Him? Or are you waiting for God to do something first before you do something for the Lord? Let's lift up our hands here this morning. I'm not going to call any prayer line this morning. I'm not going to ask anybody to come forward. But where you are in your seat, I want you to talk to the Lord. And I want you to say, Lord, I want to choose You as my chief joy. And whatever it is that is in my heart that has become my focus and the center of my life every day that I'm pursuing and so forth, I'm going to give it back to You, Lord. And the Lord said for me to tell you this morning, give it all back to me, said the Lord. Give it all back to me. I'm going to invite you to pray this prayer with me while you are in your seats. You don't need to come out. I want you to say with me, Lord Jesus, I choose you as my chief joy. And whatever it is that has been a stumbling block in my life, that I have put ahead of you, I turn it over to you, Lord. My dreams, my desires, my hopes, my goals in life, I turn them over to you, Lord. Have thine own way. In Jesus' name. Give me the grace, Lord, to keep you always as the focus and as the center of my life. In Jesus' name. And everybody says,
Amen.
Amen. Now I'm going to pray for you. Lord, I pray that this word that we have spoken here this morning will not be plucked out from their hearts by the birds of the air and so forth, but that they will meditate upon this word and that it will bring forth fruit in their lives in the name of the Lord Jesus. Except you said the corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. And that which we have been holding on to is just one corn of wheat. We got to give it up to you before it can multiply. Lord Jesus, for those dreams that seem dead, for those goals that seem unattainable, perhaps this is the season why they died, so that they may come forth again. Because the Lord killeth and he maketh alive. Hallelujah. He doeth all these things past finding out. Lord Jesus, take all those dreams, take all those goals and those desires and everything that we are pursuing after. As we turn them over to you today, take them, Lord, and do as it pleases you. And let your name be glorified in our lives. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Give everyone that is here this morning the grace to pursue you as our great and exceeding reward. And not to pursue the things that you will give us as a reward, but to pursue you yourself. Hallelujah. We give you the praise and the glory in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen.
And everybody says,
Amen.
Put your hands together for the Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord.